This is the Four Man Rush. Hello, Panther fans, and welcome to another podcast of the Four Man Rush. I'm your host, Timmy Vio, here with Kevin and Will, and we're going to talk about a little bit of Senior Bowl, right? So we're going to touch on very, very prominent positions that we're looking at in the draft, obviously, and then we'll go into detail on some other positions, but we're going to cover each and every position for the most part. And we'll talk about players that, you know, people have been looking at and players, our coaching staff down there has been touching with and communicating with, things of that nature. Now, it's not like last year, obviously. We haven't seen some of these guys play that much, and, you know, the practices were suspect for the most part. So we're just going to touch on the positions. And then next week after the Senior Bowl, we'll go more in depth in standouts and things of that nature. And all that good stuff, man. So, we're talking about Senior Bowl. We're talking about hopefully some potential Panther players coming on board for us. And, we're going to break it down four-man rush style. Some football heads, buddy. Telling you. And by the way, if you have not subscribed to our YouTube channel, please do that. Stop playing games. Please do that so you won't miss out. You get all the nice notifications when we drop a podcast and when we drop some in-depth breakdown on players and coaching personnel and front office personnel, all that good stuff, man, because the four-man rush is real, folks. If you want Panther football, this is where you want to come. Dig it? So hold on to your hats, folks. The four-man rush is on the scene. Will, we'll start with you, man. Go ahead and start with that QB position. I know there's a couple of singers that possibly could be on this roster next year, man. What do you see?
On the Matt Rhule's team, I think there's three guys who could probably be in play for the Panthers on draft day, either day one or day two. Now, I know, you know, the popular names right now is Deshaun Watson, which we talked about last week, Matthew Stafford, which I don't think is happening, but, you know, you got to keep that possibility open as well. You know, everybody wants to hear about the top of the quarterback class, Lawrence, Fields, Lance, and Zach Wilson. But it's possibility that we don't make a trade for a vet and four quarterbacks go in the top seven, and when the Panthers aren't able to trade up to take one of the top four. So that's going to leave you with the guys that we're looking at this week at the Senior Bowl, which I think there's some talented guys there. It's Jamie Newman, Mac Jones, and injured, but he was invited to the Senior Bowl, and I think he's there doing interviews, Kyle Trask. And these are all three guys on Matt Rhule's team. So these are the three I want to focus on today. I mean, we can get into the other guys maybe next week if they stand out during the week. But with me, you know, while Mac Jones and Kyle Trask had those productive seasons, Jamie Newman, you know, a sneaky guy coming in there who opted out this year at Georgia, you know, he's going to come in and show out. I think he had a very good first day today. You know, he was at Wake Forest actually before this year, and I think he transferred to Georgia, but then ended up opting out because of the COVID situation. So we didn't really get a good chance to look at him this year. But, you know, you watch him in his clips today and his drills. You know, the arm strength is there, the arm talent. He looks like the best quarterback on the field, according to most people that were there watching him live. And, I mean, he's got a lot of good snap on the ball, very good athleticism. So you're looking at a guy that has all the tools. So if you're talking about maybe day two or day three, you know, even a second round pick, you know, keep an eye on the Jamie Newman. I mean, he's got all the tools you want from a quarterback, still needs a lot of development since he's missed an entire season, but he could be a good value pick later in the draft. Then you got Mac Jones. I mean, a lot of people are probably a lot more familiar with him because of the historic season he had at Alabama, very smart quarterback, accurate, not the most athletic or the most arm talent, but, you know, in terms of just getting the ball to his playmakers, running the offense, being a leader, he displays all those traits, and I think he's another solid option in day two. It's a guy Matt Rhule's very familiar with. He recruited him at both Temple and when he went to Baylor. There's a lot of familiarity there, and I think he'll get to know him very well this week. I mean, you look at him in the national championship, I mean, he went against Justin Fields head-to-head, and you saw what happened there, the kind of numbers he was able to put up. And I know with Matt Jones, a lot of people criticize him because of his supporting cast. I mean, it was the same supporting cast that Tua and Burrow had last year. I mean, they are surrounded with draft first, second round picks as well. So why not keep that same energy with them that you keep with Matt Jones? So I think he's another guy, you know, you got to keep an eye out for that could possibly be picked on day two. I know a lot of draft analysts think the media has undervalued him in comparison to actual teams. So it's possible he can maybe slip into the first round. So we'll see how that goes. And then Kyle Trask, I mean, he was putting up Joe Burrow numbers for most of this season. Now, granted, like Matt Jones, he had a lot of great weapons, which we'll get into later. You know, one of my favorite prospects, Kadarius Toney, and Kyle Pitts, who's also going to be in play as possibly a top 10, top 15 pick. But, I mean, Kyle Trask, again, productive. You know, he improved a lot in terms of accuracy on short throws, gets the ball out quick, probably a little bit more athleticism than Matt Jones will give you. I think the concern with him when Pitts and Toney opted out of that final game, he had a very poor showing in his final game. So I think how's that going to linger over into the draft? Will his stock fall to day two possibly? So we'll see how it plays out. I'm excited to see what Mac Jones and Jamie Newman are able to do this week, and hopefully we'll have a more complete breakdown of their games and how they were able to perform next week.
Word. Oh, man. All right. So, great breakdown, bro. So, let's talk about the people in front of these gentlemen, the O-line. Kev, what you got on your radar, bud?
Yeah, well, what I got on my radar is I'll start off with the ones that's on Matt Rule's team, the American team at the Senior Bowl. These are some guys that, you know, me and Larry have been looking at for a while now, and just – it's enough to make your mouth salivate. I'm gonna be honest. If you guys are like me, you know, not caught up in quarterback craziness, but realize that you need an offensive line to protect whoever is quarterback, you know, just some of us just had that logic. You know, that might help a little bit. You know, if you got a good line in front of you, just a suggestion. But yeah, just some names that stand out for me. One of the most, of course, everybody's looking at the tackle position, you know, with the uncertainty if we're going to keep Taylor Moten, and with Russell Okung was in the last year of his deal before he took the Bitcoin option and dipped. you know, we have prospects like Alex Leatherwood out of Alabama, someone who has an NFL body. Needs some refinement with his leverage and with his hand placement. I mean, he has the tools. He's just got to use his tools the right way more consistently. But definitely someone that a lot of people were looking at. You know, anytime, I mean, anybody on Alabama's offensive line is going to catch your eye anyway. Mm-hmm. Speaking of eye candy, I think one of the most popular names that recently popped out, especially since the college playoffs, is Leatherwood's partner in crime at left guard, which is Mr. Deontay Brown. You're talking about a mountain of a man. I mean, you're talking about 6'3", 365 pounds.
Ooh, Lord.
But this is 6'3", that can move. Like, don't let that weight fool you. This is someone that can get them legs moving, and he's that guy. When you get off the bus and you're trying to intimidate the other team, you want him to be the first one off the bus. He's that guy. You know, that's that effect. Tim, you know about that coming out them high school days? Boy, like,
oh, hell yeah. you'd be out there standing outside the locker room looking at, watching them come in. Like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, whose guy's that? Oh, you know, yeah, he's that effect. Yeah, but yeah, don't let the 364 make you think that he's not athletic or slow footed. I mean, this is someone with great foot quickness. He dominates whoever he's in front of. This is the guy, and Will, I think you pointed out to me, this was the guy that, if I'm not mistaken, kept Dare Brown in check last year.
Oh yeah.
When Alabama and Auburn went at it. So, my God, if we can ever get a reunion, boy, you talking about iron sharpening iron. I mean, this would be the one. I mean, this draft is really loaded at this interior line position, and Mr. Deontay Brown is someone that's definitely one to be looking out here for. couple other guys real quick to mention on the offensive line to look out for. I'm going to mention someone from a small school here, Grambling State, David Moore. And for those of us that remember Trenton Scott, the one who came in, filled in for when a coon got hurt and went Greg Little, you know, pissed to bed. This was number 73 for the Panthers. Well, this is one of his teammates, David Moore. He's a guard. And, folks, when I say plays nasty, like, you done talked about his mama all week long, and now he's pissed. Like, this, if you want nasty on your offensive line, this is someone to be looking at. I mean, this is a young man who who's ranked pretty highly up here. He's considered one of the top 10 interior linemen with this incoming on draft class. Matter of fact, he's right at number 10. We're talking about 6'2", 350. So, you know, a pretty solid boy here. He got decent athleticism. You know, don't let the fact that he went to Grambling make you think that he's some pushover. I mean, he's someone that plays hard to the whistle, and he's always looking for work. So once you take care of his, he's got his head on swivel. He's looking for more. So David Moore is another guy to be paying attention to that's on the Matt Rhule squad. And finally, another offensive lineman for people to keep in mind here. I'm looking at someone, you know, depending on how the picks fall, like a day three person look at here. I'm looking at Alaric Jackson out of Iowa. This is someone who has the body and the frame, but he needs to have some more discipline. I'm gonna be one of the first ones to tell you that when he's disciplined, he could have easily been a late day one, early day two pick, but because of the inconsistency. Which I think is coachable. I think he's a player that could be a steal in the later rounds. We're talking about 6'6", 320 pounds. Very solid guy. He has the ability to play both tackle and guard, so that position flexibility. One thing I do notice, he is a little tight in his hips, but he's someone, and Tim, you know, heard this term plenty of time, that boy country strong.
Country strong.
Country strong, S-K-R-O-N-G, strong.
Indeed.
So yeah, so when it's a guy like this, when it's fourth and one, this the guy to get behind, because in the running game, dude has no problem moving you out the way. So again, this is someone that's looking like a day three pick that, you know, depending on what positions we draft before, this is someone that to definitely be on the lookout for. So. These are the offensive linemen on Matt Rhule's team, on the national team that stand out to me. That I definitely think will be prospects. We'll be speaking about this remaining offseason.
Woo! Excitement! Excitement! Y'all making sure you watch the Senior Bowl and check out what Kevin Will's dropping on you, man. Do your homework on that shit, right? Right? Will. Let's talk about some skill positions. Running back, wide receiver, maybe even.
Yeah. Before we do that, Kev, what do you think of Trey Smith from Tennessee? I know people are high on him as one of the top guards in this class. Hmm.
Yeah, I mean Trey Smith. I mean Trey Smith was the guy, and he's done nothing to dismiss it. I think people just were enamored with Deontay Brown at left guard. They forgot that Trey Smith has the more consistent resume. We're talking about, again, 6'6", 330. I mean,
well, that's a big boy. Lord Jesus.
And when I say ideal technician, he's the type of player that is going to be a day one starter. This has perennial Pro Bowl, all pro expectations of him. We're talking about someone that is solid fundamentally. His hand and eye coordination, like when you notice when he pull blocks, when he double teams get to the second level, I mean, is pretty much like textbook. He would be the type of player that if you want to teach your son how to be an offensive lineman, like his fundamentals and his technique are pretty much, you know, pristine. I mean, he not only does he have the size, he has the technique, and he's just a player that easily is going to be a day one starter. Probably is projected around a second round pick. There's really no way if we went offensive line, particularly interior, within the first three rounds to really miss. Here is just that deep and talented. But Trey Smith is someone who would definitely make Panther fans extremely proud of who's to get him.
It's special.
And he went to Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. So about the skill players, to me, I mean, and Kev, my witness. I mean, Kadarius Toney is a guy I've been high on years. I mean, before he was even draft eligible, I've had my eye on this guy. Like last year, is when I saw him last year before this season. He wasn't as polished a route runner yet. You just saw the explosive playmaking ability he has. The guy can cut at full speed, change direction. It's like his ACLs are made of rubber bands. I mean, he can, man, the kind of cuts he makes, I mean, at full speed at that, in your way he was able to make plays with the ball in his hands. His junior year, Florida was using him more for like jet sweeps and screens, kind of as a gadget player. And every time he touched the ball, there's something explosive happened. And I think he got hurt, so he didn't really finish the season. But I just saw the traits last year. He wasn't really a fully developed receiver, but I saw the traits. So now we get an offseason. He's improving, getting better at his craft. We start this season. He comes in. He's a complete receiver now. He's a complete route runner, you know, going through this small things. I mean, winning at his release, you know, exploding out of his cuts. He had great hands, you know, still explosive in the open field. He just saw that much development in 1 year. I think he pretty much went from like a day two, day three guy entering the season. I just saw Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft that had him going in the first round. So, I mean, just I would love if we don't get Curtis Samuel back, a guy, Kadarius Toney would be definitely be a guy that I wouldn't mind taking in round two if he's there. Because he'll just add that much more explosiveness and playmaking ability to our roster. So I'm going to claim that one. I had my eye on Kadarius Toney long before he was even mentioned as a top draft prospect like he is now. But more realistically for the Panthers, I don't think, you know, Toney probably won't be on the board when they start thinking about receivers. Let's go with a local guy, Shai Smith from South Carolina. He showed out today. I mean, if you watch the Gamecocks games, you know, he was just so dominant. Not until dominating the opponent, but he just dominated the number of touches that the Gamecocks gave him. And he's just able to get open very easily. He explodes out of his cuts, runs good routes, very good at the release, gets a lot of separation, fantastic hands. I think he made the best catch today at the Senior Bowl in one-on-one drills. So, again, you're talking about, you know, what are we going to be at the receiver position next year? Curtis Samuel's likely going to walk. So you're down to DJ Robbie. You're going to need a slot guy who can come in there, get separation on those third downs and move the sticks. You know, you look at a guy like Shai Smith that can be able to fit that role. Another local kid who I think people are very familiar with, Clemson's Amari Rogers. I looked at him as more of like a gadget player type, you know, jet sweeps and screens. He was injured, I think, either last year or this year. One of the Clemson fans can help me out with that one. But when he has the ball in his hands, again, a guy that can show that playmaking ability and ability to get yards after the catch. So that's another guy I have my eye on at the receiver position. As far as running backs, you know, my favorite position, I'm looking at a guy on the national team, Khalil Herbert from Virginia Tech. I believe he went to the same high school. Oh, he's not even on the roster, is he? Yes, he is right there. Yeah. I'll get to my other guys in a minute. But Khalil Herbert, he went to the same high school as Patrick Surtain and Brian Burns. I mean, he's got very good top-end speed, very productive last year. Good job making guys miss, good contact balance. Definitely a guy I have my eye on this week. Najee Harris is the best running back in this draft. I just did my scouting report breakdown on him. I see him as a feature back in an offense, day one starter, potential Pro Bowler. I mean, the guy's just got great contact balance, great vision. He's a complete back, can catch the ball out of the backfield. Never going to let the first guy tackle him. Makes guys miss. Very good feet, you know, short area quickness. And I just like how he sets up his blocks. And once he sets his blocks up, he can explode in and out of cuts. So just a very fantastic player. I thought he had an excellent season at Alabama. It just got overshadowed because of how productive Devontae Smith and Mac Jones were for that Alabama offense. Michael Carter, you know, Kevin knows him, the Tar Heels running back. Thought he's a very strong runner. Had a very good year as well for the North Carolina. I mean, he had a they had a very good 1-2 punch at Carolina this year, and Michael Carter was a part of that. So that's another guy I'm looking forward to at the skill positions. And lastly, you know, I know y'all want to hear about Wake Forest Sage Surratt, you know, because he's one of the brothers. His brother's a linebacker at North Carolina. But, you know, I can't go on without mentioning Devontae Smith, you know, the Heisman Trophy winning wide receiver from Alabama. Look at him. You know, it reminds me so much, for y'all old heads, Marvin Harrison. Just that slim frame, ability to get separation, great hands, great make plays after the catch. The route running's there. Consistently get separation, always open. And then the way Alabama was able to continuously get the ball in his hands a variety of ways, just overall just a very good, well-rounded, complete wide receiver. Some may be concerned about his frame. You know, I not so much in my case. I mean, you've seen guys like DeSean Jackson and the guy I just mentioned, Marvin Harrison, you know, slim frame wide receivers that go on to have long, very productive careers.
That's right.
But that's where I'm at with the skill position players. And there's a lot of other guys, you know, we'll get to, like I said, next week as we watch more practices and see how they perform throughout the week.
Right on, man. Outstanding breakdown. Told you, folks. We own it. We own it, damn it. Kev, I guess we're going to touch on the did you touch on the tackles too, or just interior linemen?
No, I had spoke on both. I just went ahead and got tackles and the interior linemen.
Yeah, so you want to hop on that D line?
Yeah, I can jump on it here because it's quite interesting. This would be the draft to make a strength even stronger if that's the way we choose to go. You know, I learned a long time ago, you never can have too many bullets in the clip, you know?
I mean, that's the truth.
Because, you know, you're always just one injury away from being down to the back end here. So, as we've all seen. But yeah, as far as I look at the defense line, I mean, with both teams, I mean, there's some gamers here. I know we have Derrick Brown, Bravon Roy, obviously Brian Burns, and Utir Gross Matos as our starters, and key reserves, you know, like F.A. Obada and Marquise Haynes. But, you know, if we ever decide to, you know, add a couple more, you know, so to get that good depth and good that rotation, there's some players on both sides that will definitely fit the bill here. Starting off with, let me try to, on the national team here, as far as the defensive line, someone that really stands out for me is, and forgive me for murdering these names because I've seen their play, but these last names, Lord help me, I'm going to buy some vowels here, but one guy that stands out here for me was from the University of Washington. His name is Levi. Last name is Onwuzurike, Onwuzurike, for those following along who want to look him up. Whew, okay.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, no problem. You know, hey, it is what it is. So we're talking about 6'3", 290, played in the Pac-12 at the University of Washington here. This is someone that's, you know, since we're playing a lot of four-man front, he's definitely someone that can play either tackle position. One thing that stands about him, you know, what Matt Rhule say, he wants players that can play that are fast and athletic. Well, at defense line, this guy would definitely fit the bill in that mode. His overall athleticism, I think he's going to really surprise some people when he does the goes to the combine here. I really see that as something that's going to blow people away. But he's someone that you try to single block him, it's not a good idea. He's very well disciplined, has great technique. He believes in maintaining leverage and gap control. One of the things that and you've heard, y'all heard us when we do our game breakdown, when we done got gassed on a run, what we say, some on gap integrity was lost. This is a player that already has the discipline shown in college to maintain his gap. If you single block him, you're going to be in for a long day. Mm-hmm. So what you going to do? Single block Derrick Brown? Okay. All right. Cool. That'll
enjoy
work.
That.
Yeah. You know, choose wisely. That's all I can tell you. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, this is definitely a player that, you know, 6'3", about 290. So he's not quote unquote the biggest defensive tackle, but hey, when you look at the most dominant defensive tackle of our generation, Aaron Rodgers, he's about what? 280, 285. So, you know, don't think that a dominant defense lineman got to be 320 pounds to be an enforcer, folks. This guy right here is definitely someone who would be add that juice to go alongside Mr. Derrick Brown. Another player to look out for here that's on the senior squad, gonna go down to good old Notre Dame, you know, for the for your Irish fans here. It's a gentleman on the line here by name of Dalen Hayes. And he's someone that when you put on the film, the motor runs hot. Mm. I mean, I maybe seen him maybe take off a half a play, Tim. I mean, this is someone that's
entire season.
Like, if he took it off, I haven't came across it yet. I'll put it to you like that.
Wow.
But he's someone that definitely just plays with a hot motor, and he's just tracking plays down. I mean, we're talking about 6'4", 261, so a little bit on the smaller side, but with the current trend for defensive ends, he's prototypical. Think about Mario Addison 2.0.
Interesting.
You know.
Interesting.
Because he's someone that when I looked at the background on him, he came on the campus under 200 pounds. Since eating there at Notre Dame, he's put on about 70 to 80 pounds over 4 years. So he's really built up his body here. And he's someone that's got the flexibility. He can put his hand in the dirt. He can stand up. He's someone that really knows how to anchor the line as well. Now, he did have a shoulder injury after four games in 2019. Mm. So there is a little bit of a little bit of injury history that goes there. But physically, he got all the tools to, just really set the edge here and just make it difficult for offensive linemen to move him out of spot. A reason why, he's only 260. Again, he plays with great leverage. Playing with leverage and the ability to shed blocks will go a long way when you're setting the edge. So he's someone to be looking out for. Now, I'm going to flip it over real quick to the a defense lineman on the other side, on the that was on the national team. This is on the American team, the one with Matt Rhule coaching. Defense lineman there. Since we was talking about local schools, talking about Carlos Basham Jr. out of Wake Forest. This is someone who is 6'3", 281. So when you think of him, again, he doesn't have that, quote, prototypical big build that you're looking for. But he's someone that produces, folks. We're talking about 33 and a half tackles for losses, 19 and a half sacks, 7 forced fumbles. He is someone that is, you don't block him properly, he's going to make you pay. He's someone that just shows has a variety of pass rush moves. He know how to convert speed to power. One thing he gets that kind of stuck out to me a little bit, he get that good bend. You know how Brian Burns is able to get that low bend and get up underneath and turn it up. This is someone else that gets a similar kind of bend. Not on the Brian Burns level, but low enough to where it stands out on film. So I just like the fact that he has a variety of moves that allow him to give offensive tackles fits. So these are just some defensive linemen that's on the Senior Bowl that that's really stood out to me.
Word. Man, bro. Y'all make sure you watch this Senior Bowl. Man, you got my damn mouth watering and shit, man. I can't wait to watch this shit. Oh, man. So, hey, Will, you want to touch on the defensive backs a little bit? And Kevin, we'll swing back to you for the linebacker core.
Sure. There's a couple guys from small schools that I want to talk about first. Start with Robert Rochelle from Central Arkansas. Very athletic guy. He was clocked at 4.38, I think, at his school. They're not going to do they're going to do the combines a little bit differently, so I don't know how much of an athletic profile we'll be able to get on him. But you see him on the field. He's got that long speed and athleticism. Very raw technique-wise. He could get better in press coverage. But, I mean, he's a playmaker on the ball. He was very productive. He had, I believe, 4 picks, 10 pass breakups, something like that. Before and the season before last. So, I mean, this is a guy, you know, we're not able to get a Patrick Surtain or a Caleb Fairley in round one. You know how Matt Rule and his staff likes to go with those athletes with upside potential later in the draft. So look out for a guy like Robert Rochelle, who I think was going to kill it at his combine or his pro day, however they do it. A good game to watch with him was against Trey Lance's showcase. You know, that defense, that Central Arkansas defense, really gave Lance a hard time that game. Another guy I'm going to talk about is from North Carolina Central, the Mideastern Athletic Conference, the MEAC. His name is Brian Mills. He got a Senior Bowl invite out of the HBCU. He's listed as one of the top HBCU prospects this year by NFL Draft Diamonds. Great Twitter account to follow if you haven't already. I mean, he made FCS either first team or second team All-American, and he was first team All-MEAC as a defensive back. I think, what else? Yeah, his junior year, you know, because the MEAC, I believe their season was canceled this past year. So we got to really look at what he did his junior year. And I think that's when he was most productive. I mean, he had 22 tackles that year. He started every game. I mean, he had 5 interceptions, so he made plays on the ball. So I want to really see how he plays this week against Division One. Well, I won't say Division One because the MEAC's still that, but FBS players, like, see how he does in these one-on-ones against some of these top receivers. That's another guy I'm going to have my eye on at the cornerback position. The safety, and, you know, excuse me for pronouncing his name, Hamza Nasirildeen from Florida State, probably one of the most versatile players in the draft. He can play single high safety in the box. He can play linebacker. They lined him up all over the field. He's got a very good athlete, good size. I mean, I think he's 6'4", 212 pounds. So I think with that versatility and physical gifts, again, you know, the kind of guys Phil Snow likes on that side of the ball, you know, how would he be lined up with a Jeremy Chinn or a, you know, Sam Franklin, who has that kind of skill set as well? So that's another guy I want to look at as well. And also, I mean, he's physical, man. He can hit. So, you know, maybe this is another guy they look at later in the draft, depending on where they go. Now, he did have an ACL tear. So we'll see how that affects his draft stock. But if he's a guy that's on the board, you know, later in one of these rounds, don't be surprised to see him get his name called.
Word. Hey, man. Hey, we still need help at the secondary position, folks. Don't trip. We still need help. I'm just saying. Kev, what about them linebackers, man?
Them backers? Is that what you're talking about?
Man, we need them backers now.
You know, we need to move on from this post to hear White era, right?
Oh, bless
you. Your White head.
All of a sudden, he can catch a football at the end of the year. What's that all about? I don't know.
I guess sitting a pound for weeks to help your hands get right. I don't know.
Ooh.
Anyway. Did I do that? My bad.
Oh, Urkel reference. What? Yeah.
So, far as linebackers go, I think this is a position that as Panther fans, that we are definitely looking at. I know a lot of popular names such as that's out there. One of the most popular ones is on the national team. That's, you know, I got a shout out because it's my school. My boy Chaz Surratt. He's someone that has definitely caught the eye. He was someone who flirted with coming out last year and decided to stay, and I'm glad that he did. Because my Tar Heels definitely needed him. But with Chaz Surratt, I mean, we're talking about someone that you could plug in. Now, I'm going to keep it real with you folks because that's how we do here. I know that it's said that we need like a true Mike linebacker. Mm-hmm. And this is something that Chaz Surratt is not exactly built for. But what he would be is that, you know, with the NFL playing so much nickel, he would definitely be someone that you could pair with the Shaq Thompson that can finally provide that man coverage on running backs and tight ends. You know, we're talking about 6'2", about 230 pounds. Was a former quarterback at North Carolina, actually. You know, just give you a little backdrop on him. But he was able to make the transition, and boy, did he rack up numbers. So he earned first team all ACC. Was runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he was just someone that had, in addition to 88 tackles, he had 15 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, 10 quarterback hurries. He was able to drop back in coverage, you know, make pass deflections. I mean, this is just somebody that is, you know, if we ever in a base, he's definitely an outside linebacker here. So, you know, unless Jermaine Carter want to, you know, attempt to beat a Mike, you know, this was someone that we was to take on here. Hey, I damn sure wouldn't mind because it'll be good to see a linebacker that can consistently play coverage. So that's Chaz Surratt. I think that's the one of the most popular linebacker name here at this draft. But other players to be on the lookout here for is a couple of guys from Ohio State, actually. The Ohio State. Thanks, Tim. Ohio State.
Yeah, watch out for them Buckeye fans, man.
Right. I know a few. One of the ones that I've liked that I took notice to in a few games they did play this year, because, you know, they ain't played but six. But anyway, Baron Browning out of Ohio State. Now this is your prototypical Mike linebacker. 6'3", 242 pounds. Yeah. Now, they saying he could also play the will, or if in a 30 front, he would be like an inside linebacker. He's someone that, you know, wherever you line him up at, he's going to produce for you. He's someone that has all the physical tools that you need. He has a great ability to shed blocks. You know, if he got a defense line in front of him, he's really filling up that gap, and he reads his keys very well. This is someone that has a high football IQ, which is something that Panther fans were spoiled with for many years during the Luke Kuechly era. But this is definitely someone that can play the inside linebacker position, depending on what alignment that you're using at here. So he's definitely someone that to be on the lookout here. With this team at the Senior Bowl. So again, that's Baron Browning. Someone else to be on the lookout for is, what was his guy? I think he was on the other team. Let me flip it real quick here. Cause that was the national team. Let me go back to Matt Rule's team, the American team. And there you go. KJ Britt. So for all of you Auburn War Eagle fans here, KJ Britt at linebacker, he's considered a day three pick. So again, if we don't get one of the linebackers in the first day one or day two, he is a day three pick that definitely is someone to be able to fill that inside role. Again, I'm just focusing more on guys that play Mike linebacker in the middle, because that's what we need for this team. So KJ Britt in the Senior Bowl, we're talking about 6 foot 239. So, you can view him as a little undersized for the position, but that doesn't stop him. He's very cerebral. He's known to be able to diagnose plays. He had one of the lowest missed tackle percentages in the country. So that's something that, you know, we didn't have with the Tahir Whitehead era. So I like the fact that he's able to diagnose plays, attack the hole, and make the tap, make the tackle. I just like the fact that he can also play man and zone coverage very effective as well. I think that his, quote, physical stature is the only reason why he's not drafted higher, because when you put the film on, when you watch the film, you know, you see him everywhere. You see him all on the field, in the backfield, chasing plays down the sideline. Another guy with a high motor. I mean, he's tracking the ball when it's in the air. So he's someone that I definitely think would be someone to be on the lookout for in this Senior Bowl. Another player here I like that's a little raw per se, but has the tools. Tim, you're going to love this name. Paddy Fisher.
Paddy Fisher.
P-A-D-D-Y. Like daddy,
oh,
but with
Paddy.
A P.
Oh, Paddy. Oh, snap.
They calling him Paddy.
Oh, like a fish patty.
There you go.
Give me one of them salmon patties.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So for him, he went to Northwestern, 6'4", 240 pounds. Definitely, he's the guy that's one of them guys you want, that muscular guy with the high shoulder neck pad coming off the bus. He's Ooh. That guy.
Ooh, Mike Ditka type shit.
Right, yeah. Starting defense, place at the table. You know, he's yeah. But yeah, well, one thing about him, when he hits you, you're hit. This is someone who believes in imposing his physical presence on you. He was someone that caused a lot of forced fumbles. Mm. Even though, believe it or not, I know Panther fans know this, but the Carolina Panthers led the NFL in most forced fumbles this year. So, you know, talk about making something an additional strength. Again, this is someone that's projected to be a late round pick as of right now. We'll see how it goes between now and the draft. Mm-hmm. But he's someone that's you know, he just dislodges the ball when he hits you. It's either you hurting or you're trying to get the ball up. He's just someone that just makes some type of hits and impacts. He is good in zone coverage. Now, man coverage, he has the physical tools, but there's some work to be done there. But he's definitely a tone setter. He's that guy that makes that hit on the field that gets everybody like, ooh, yes. You know, he's that guy. He's that yeah. guy, you know. So these are just some of the linebackers in the that stand out to me that I think is worth watching, that potentially could be someone that get on our radar. And I like the fact that our coaching staff will get a up close look. So, you know, don't be surprised in a few months that some of the names we're mentioning on this episode might be rocking a uniform.
That's right, man. That's right.
You heard it here first. Exclusive.
Exclusive. You know what it is. Man, hey, I don't know about y'all folks, listeners. I don't know about y'all, Panther fans. I don't know about y'all. But there's going to be some good things going on in this franchise from here on out, man. These guys know how to you know, find talent. And now we brought on our new GM who's also a late-round digger. He finds them. Bruh, it's beautiful. Either way we go in the scenarios and how we go about this draft, whether we trade back or we pick as they come, I'm extremely comfortable with these group of guys finding this talent. And folks, you should be extremely comfortable with a four-man rush breaking it down for you. Like Kevin said, keep your eyes open. Watch that Senior Bowl. You know what I'm saying? Soak up some more football. You know, so, you know, you can – you can get your football fixed out the way, so you don't have to watch Tom Brady. the man's a damn goat. Anyway, but yeah, folks, watch that Senior Bowl. It's Saturday at 2:00. I forget. It's sponsored by Reese's. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, thanks.
2:00.
2:00.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so y'all be sure to watch that, man. It's gonna be wow. Man, I can't wait, man.
Yeah, it's going to be carried. Just so if y'all want to know, I'm looking it up here. It's going to be carried on the NFL Network. So for those that have access to it, it's scheduled to start at 2:30 Eastern, 1:30 Central. It is in Mobile, so Central Time. It'll start at 1:30 on this coming Saturday.
Word. There you go, folks. Give you, you know, a little break from basketball and watch some senior fellas go at it. You know, good stuff. And be sure to listen to this podcast again before you start watching. You know, jot down your notes. You know, say calibrate your shit, folks. You can be like, damn, oh, that's what they was talking about. Oh, that kid's good. Oh man, what? I said that's exactly how it's going to play out, folks. That's what happened last year with the four-man rush, and it'll happen this year too. So dig it, man. All right, so any parting shots, gentlemen?
Stop hating on Tom Brady, man.
Tell it.
Y'all some haters.
Tell it.
Don't you get tired of hating on the guy? He wins every year. Carried another team in another division in another conference to the Super Bowl. Won three straight road games to get there.
Bruh.
I mean, what left to hate on Tom Brady for, man?
At this point, y'all just looking really foolish.
Well, let me throw the monkey wrench in it. Now, he did come into the team that had the number one passing offense and a top five defense. So let's not say he completely cared. You know, it's not like he took the Jaguars to the Super Bowl. You know, we don't have 30 for 30 at quarterback position. You know, it does a world of good.
Well, when did Tom arrive in Tampa?
But like, I don't know, what was it, May, June, something like that.
I think he went down there early because he was the first quarterback to get signed, one of them. So I'm proud. I think he was down there early March. Didn't he get like rent Tiger Woods' house or something out there?
Wow.
Nah, he got Derek Jeter's house.
Oh, that's what it was. I knew it was one of those famous guys.
Wow. So my man just left. He left New England, went to Florida. So yeah, I'll play for y'all. Just get me out there. I'll play for y'all. And now this motherfucker's in another Super Bowl.
Just threw a dart at the dartboard, landed on a team, and said, "Hey, you guys want a Super Bowl?"
What can Schwab do for you?
He better not throw three second half picks against the Chiefs, boy.
Oh yeah.
You get Mahomes that many extra possessions.
Bruh. That is one dude you do not want to give the football to.
You know what I do like though? The Bucks offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich, defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles, right. And the Chiefs offensive coordinator is Eric Bieniemy. Yep. So you got three black coordinators coming into the Super Bowl. I think that's really good to see. Hopefully these guys will be considered for head coaching positions soon.
That's right. All former players, you know, they put in their work, put in their hours, rising up the ladder, man. And who knows, man? Who knows? Hard work pays off, gentlemen. Kevin, go ahead.
Oh, as always, I always thank our four-man rush fans that interact with us on social media. Especially how we be cutting up on Twitter.
Oh, Lord.
I blame Will for that. But thank our fans. And like I say, we grind behind the scenes. When we drop our draft content, it's going to be the equivalent of dropping a nuke. I'm trying to tell you, like the level of information that we're doing on this is going to really, this going to get talked about.
Yeah, man.
We gonna have to watermark our shit because people gonna be biting.
Bro, they biting already. I see that. Man, I see y'all. I see y'all at the biting, bro. Let me stop. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
Yeah, we're just gonna stop putting some X-lax on our shit. You know what I'm saying? You bite, you're gonna have the shits when you're done, you know. But yeah, that's all I had.
Right on, man. Yeah, we appreciate you folks, man. Podcast listeners, whether you're social media platforms, man, wherever you engage in the Four Man Rush crew, man, we really appreciate y'all. Straight up. And you know, you other Panther podcast folks out there, man, we appreciate y'all too. You know, it's nice to have something to compare ourselves to. Don't take it personal. Anyway, so whether you listen to this podcast in the morning, afternoon, or evening, we really, 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 really appreciate you guys for checking out the Four Man Rush podcast. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to any of our podcast platforms so you can get that notification when we drop another podcast. And be on the lookout. If you haven't dropped by our website, it's www.theformanrush.com. I know Norris put out a good write-up recently about, I think it's about the whole quarterback situation and stuff, man. So, yeah, we really appreciate you guys, man. Straight up. You guys stay safe out there. This COVID situation is getting worse. Vaccines are going out there, folks, but we still got people. You know, it's already all over the country. So, you know, just be safe. All right. Enjoy the Senior Bowl. Thanks for listening to us. You know, pet your dog, wash your cat, and as always, keep pounding. We'll holler at you. Stop biting my sh.
Stop hating on Tom Brady.
Stop hating on Tom. What's wrong with who? You know, there was a time people couldn't stand Michael Jordan too. Ain't that funny?
Yeah. Kobe too. RIP. Isn't this the anniversary day?
Yep.
It was yesterday.
Yeah, man.
No, it was today.
Yeah.
Blessings.
Yeah. Blessings. Legend.
Yeah, man.
Man, can't believe that's been a year, bro.
I know.
That should have been a sign that 2020 is going to be a fucked up year.
Yeah, bro.
Helicopter. I was like, I had to read it twice. Like, what the hell?
She love it. We out in public and we can just chill with my partners and we can go back to my crib and just chill on the covers. And do we come in and you love us?
The Four Man Rush is brought to you by the love and respect of and for the Carolina Panthers and Carolina Panther fans everywhere. Keep pounding. The Four Man Rush is a non-affiliate of the Carolina Panther organization. All thoughts, assessments, and content of this podcast is directly related to the Four Man Rush exclusively. Thank you.